Chapter 12 Ballerina Princess. Bright and early in the morning, the loud chime goes off. The princesses get dressed in their pink uniforms and leave their bedroom.
"You didn't have to prepare breakfast?" Twyla asks me.
"Not today. I got the morning off."
"Want to come eat with us?" she asks.
"No, thanks," I say, standing in the doorway in my pink pajamas. "I'll get something in the kitchen later. I need to find Jonah and wake up Prince Jean." I watch as the 12 princesses walk past the sleeping prince. They look at him with pity. They think he failed. They think it's off with his head time. They think he won't be able to tell the king where they go every night. But he will be able to. With our proof. When all the princesses have gone, Prince Jean is still snoring. I walk over to him, wondering if I should tap his shoulder. Then I see something weird. The empty bowl, the one that had the ice cream in it, is now balancing on the prince's head. I hear a giggle.
"Jonah, I know that's you," I whisper.
He's having a little too much fun with the invisibility cloak. The bowl moves from the prince's head to the table.
"Sorry," Jonah calls out with another giggle. "It seemed like a good idea."
Jonah whips off the cloak. His hair is its usual bedhead mess, and he's holding the goblet. Whew. Prince Jean's eyes open. He sits up and rubs them.
"Uh-oh," he says.
"Uh-oh is right," I snap.
"You ate the ice cream," Jonah tells him. "The princesses put a sleeping potion in it, so we had to follow them again."
Prince Jean blushes.
"You told me not to drink anything, not to not eat anything."
He hangs his head. I sigh.
"Prince Jean, do you promise to give us the ruby and the crown in exchange for the information and proof you need to tell the king after the recital?"
He nods.
"I promise."
He sounds sincere. "And there's one more thing," I say.
"What is it?"
Prince Jean asks. "You'll win the right to marry any princess of your choosing, but you don't want to marry someone who doesn't want to marry you, right?"
"Of course not," he says.
"Good. So instead of forcing a princess to marry you, I think you should ask her on a date first. What do you say? Deal?"
"Deal,"
he says. I lean in closer. "Also, FYI, I'm pretty sure Terry would say yes to a date." Prince Jean smiles.
"That's good to know."
Then I finally tell Prince Jean the entire story. The trap door, the secret exit, the boats, the underground building, the dance hall, the resistance movement, the dancing.
"Wait, really?" Prince Jean says. "A dance party? Why didn't anyone invite me?"
"It's for the citizens of Dues," I explain.
"Yeah," Jonah adds. "Because only ballet is allowed in Dues, and people like to do other kinds of dance."
"Well, I like to dance," Prince Jean says. "I think an underground dance hall is fun."
Jonah hands Prince Jean the goblet.
"Here's your proof. See the stamp?"
"Groovy,"
the prince exclaims, reading the words on the cup.
"Thank you both. When I get the crown, I will absolutely, positively give you the ruby."
"Great," I say.
"I'm going to freshen up,"
the prince says. He carefully tucks the goblet into his blazer pocket. He better not lose it. Prince Jean heads off. A moment later, Ellie appears in the hallway.
"There you are," she says to me.
"I looked for you in the royal kitchen, but couldn't find you." "I have the day off," I say quickly. "This is my brother, Jonah. He's going to row with you to the chess tournament."
"I am?" my brother asks. You are, I say.
Great, Ellie says. But I have only 2 hours to teach you the routine for the recital. Then I'm supposed to be in school with my sisters, so you can practice by yourself.
Does she know who she's dealing with? The girl who knocks over other dancers? Why did I agree to this?
Abby's going to dance in a recital? Jonah asks, looking stunned.
Okay, okay. Let's not overdo the reactions here. I narrow my eyes at Jonah.
She'll be great, Ellie says.
That I can't promise, I say.
I'm going to see if I can get some food, Jonah tells me.
He holds up his hand, which means he's holding up the invisibility cloak, so I know he'll wear it around the castle.
Be safe, I call to him. And meet us back here at 3:30 this afternoon, Ellie adds, so we can row to the tournament.
Jonah nods and runs off. Ellie leads me into the bedroom and over to the big walk-in closet. She grabs some things off a shelf.
Here, she says, put these on.
She hands me a leotard, a tutu, and a pair of ballet slippers. It's our costume for the recital.
Oh, I have to say, it's always fun to put on a costume.
I quickly get changed. The leotard and tutu are pale pink with a darker pink sash around the waist. The tutu is very flouncy. It's actually super cute, and it fits me perfectly, since Ellie and I are the same size. Ellie ties the pink ballet slippers for me. I stare at myself in the mirror. I'm a ballerina. A ballerina princess. I give a twirl and land on my bottom. Oops. Ellie laughs and helps me up. She leads me over to the far side of the bedroom, where there's space to practice.
Okay, here's the routine, Ellie says.
She raises her arms gracefully in the air. I try to copy her, but my arms shoot up like a rocket.
Slower, she says patiently, and curve your arms a bit.
I try again, and this time Ellie smiles.
Good.
Really? Okay.
Now step to the right, she instructs. 4 steps to the side, arms raised and lowered. Arms raised and lowered. It's pretty simple.
It is not simple. I go left when she says right. I step back when she goes forward. But after 2 hours of practicing, I think I've learned the routine. Mostly.
Now for the bun, Ellie says.
Huh? I ask. She grabs a sparkly black scrunchie and puts it on her wrist. Then she gathers my curly hair on top of my head, twists it into a bun, and secures it with the scrunchie.
Now you really look like a ballerina, she remarks.
I stare at myself in the mirror. She's right.
Ellie high-fives me. I know you can do it, she says.
I might look the part, but can I dance the part? It's 3:30 in dues. The recital is in a half hour. I'm in the princess's bedroom, saying goodbye to Ellie and Jonah, who are on their way to the chess tournament. Ellie left school a few minutes early, but the rest of the princesses will be back any minute.
Good luck, I tell Ellie and Jonah as they disappear down the secret hatch.
You too, Ellie calls out.
Yeah,
Jonah tells me, tucking the invisibility cloak under his arm.
Don't fall or anything.
Gee, thanks. I hear the princesses coming down the hall. I rush over to Ellie's bed and sit down, facing away. Oh no. Any second they're going to come in and know I'm not their sister. The princesses hurry inside their bedroom. There's a rush of activity as they change into their costumes and ballet slippers. At least I'm already in my costume.
Come on, Ellie,
Una says to me.
Let's do this.
I stand up. I turn around, but keep my head down. Any chance no one will notice I'm not Ellie? Like all 11 of them? Why didn't we think about this part before?
Hey, that's not Ellie,
Fanny says, taking one look at me. I guess not.
It's Abby,
Franny adds. The cook? Terry asks, looking confused. I sigh. I guess I have to tell them the truth. What choice do I have?
Ellie is competing in the chess tournament, I tell them.
I knew it, Twyla cries.
I nod. She didn't tell you because she didn't want you all to get in trouble. But you won't, because I'm going to fill in for her at the recital. I practiced the routine all day. She taught me everything.
Okay,
Una says. I guess Father's expecting 12 dancing princesses, and you make 12. Just don't mess up. No kidding. We leave the bedroom and walk down the hall to the Royal Auditorium. There are rows of high-backed red velvet seats and a stage with gold satin curtains. Every seat is full. The king, in his royal robes and crown, is sitting in the back row. I expect him to leap up and point at me and bellow, "You're not 11!" But he doesn't. I keep my head down and follow the princesses backstage. We line up in birth order. I'm at the end, right before Twyla, where Ellie would be. The curtains part. My hands are sweaty, and my knees are shaking, but it's showtime. Deep breath, deep breath. I remind myself of what I said to Ellie. It's about taking risks, putting yourself out there, finding out what you can achieve, and having a good time. The music begins. I raise my arms gracefully like I practiced. So far, so good. I bow my legs and move to the left when Twyla does, then to the right. One arm comes down slowly, then the other. Tiny little steps to the left, tiny little steps to the right. Arms up in a circle, then down. I'm dancing ballet on stage, and I haven't knocked over anyone yet or fallen down. I'm about to move to the right when I realize Twyla has moved to the left. Oops. I'm only a beat behind, though. I quickly catch up. I mess up one more time when I spin the wrong way. But then the music stops and the curtain comes down. It's over! When the curtain comes up again, the 12 dancing princesses of the Kingdom of Dews receive a standing ovation from the audience, including King LePere. I curtsy along with the other sisters, sweaty and smiling. I did it. I practiced and I did it. Is it possible I'm not that bad of a dancer after all? After the performance, the princesses and I gather backstage to change out of our ballet costumes. I slip on Ellie's pink uniform, white tights, and new black patent leather shoes. Thankfully, everything fits me. Ellie was right. King LePere didn't notice that I was not his daughter. How could he not notice? How could he not be watching closely, especially when his daughter's dancing ballet is supposedly so important to him? That doesn't seem right. The king arrives backstage. I turn to face the wall, hoping he still won't notice I'm not Ellie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12,
he calls out proudly.
Excellent performance.
Thank you, Father, Una says.
Meet me in the dining room for refreshments, the king adds. It's time for Prince Jean to reveal where you go every night.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. My heart races. I'm not ready for this. The prince is going to be okay. Mary Rose is going to be okay. But the princesses are going to hate me.
We file out of the auditorium and head for the dining room. I squeeze my eyes shut for a moment. I try not to think about how bad I feel for deceiving the princesses. And I helped Ellie, didn't I? I feel a twinge of worry. I hope she and Jonah are okay. Shouldn't they be back by now? In the dining room, Prince Jean is standing in front of the display case that holds the ruby crown. He's smiling and holding something behind his back. The king's guests are crowded in the room as well, eager to watch the announcement. There are delicious chocolates and snacks laid out on the table. The king, the princesses, and I line up facing Prince Jean. Here we go. The king lifts his chin.
All right, Prince Jean. You've had 3 nights to figure out what the princesses do to scuff their shoes. Are you able to tell me?
The princesses all stare down at the floor. They really look sad. Even Una. I glance at Terry. I see a tear slipping down her cheek. Aww.
Yes, I can tell you, Prince Jean announces.
Terry's head jerks up in surprise. The prince clears his throat.
The first 2 nights, the princesses put a sleeping potion in my drink to make me fall asleep, he says. But last night, I saw everything.
Several princesses gasp. The king's eyes widen.
Every night, the princesses sneak out of their room through a trap door and leave the castle through a secret exit.
The prince continues, repeating what Jonah and I told him.
They take boats to an underground dance hall across the river and dance the night away. That is why their shoes are scuffed and worn down every morning.
The princesses' jaws drop. They begin muttering to one another. I'm impressed that Prince Jean didn't get me and Jonah in trouble. He's sticking to the plan.
Silence!
King Lepere bellows at the princesses. He turns to the prince.
All dancing, other than ballet, is illegal in Duz. Everyone knows that. Yes, that's why the dance hall is secret,
the prince responds.
It's the dance resistance party.
The king narrows his eyes. He leans toward the prince.
What proof do you have of this? This.
Prince Jean pulls out the silver goblet from behind his back. He holds it up so that the king can see the stamp reading DRP.
DRP, Dance Resistance Party. Get it?
Una gasps. I bet she's thinking that having special goblets made for a secret dance party wasn't really a genius idea. Terry's shoulders sag with relief. Does this mean he's not getting his head chopped off? She asks.
It means,
the king shouts,
that you're all in big trouble.
Oh, no. Una glares at the prince. How could you possibly know all this? She demands. You were asleep before we left last night, and asleep when we returned.
Aha! The king shouts. You admit it, one. You all sneak out.
Una's face falls. Terry steps forward. How did you find out? She asks Prince Jean. There's no way you followed us. I would have seen you there. I was looking for you, she admits, blushing. I tried to send Prince Jean a silent message. Tell them about the invisibility cloak. But Prince Jean can obviously only remember so much. He looks around the room. His eyes land on me.
There,
he says, pointing at me.
That girl and her brother told me everything and gave me the goblet. I did fall asleep after eating the ice cream, so they were the ones who saw what the princesses did.
Oh, no. I wish there was a trapdoor to disappear through right here.
Abby and Jonah? The cooks? Terry asks, looking confused. Everyone turns to stare at me.
Who are you?
The king demands, scowling at me.
Why are you in a princess uniform if you're a cook?
You're not really a cook? Twyla asks me, looking sad. Crumbs. Prince Jean clears his throat.
I don't know if she's a cook, but Abby and her brother want the crown ruby. I agreed to give it to them in exchange for the information and proof.
More gasps. More murmuring. My heart sinks. This is bad. I hear footsteps. I look over at the door. It's Ellie, and Jonah is right behind her, the invisibility cloak covering part of his arm.
There's the brother,
Prince Jean says, pointing at Jonah. Jonah tries to put on the invisibility cloak, but he gets tangled up in it, hopping and tripping in place. Only his feet are invisible.
Oops, he says.
I cringe. Ellie puts her hand on my shoulder. Is what the prince says true?
Wait! The king bellows. I'm very confused, he adds, looking from me to his 11th born daughter. Why are there 2 11s?
I ignore the king and turn to Ellie. My stomach is churning. I could not feel worse. Yes, I admit to Ellie. What the prince says is true. I'm sorry. Everyone gasps again.
How could you, Abby? Ellie cries. Oh, how could you?
She bursts into tears. Una shakes her head at me. She looks like my mom does when I do something really, really wrong, and she's really, really disappointed in me.
We thought you were our friend, Twyla says.
Meanie, Fanny and Franny say in unison.
She's not a meanie,
Jonah says defensively.
She's a really nice big sister. Well, 99% of the time.
The king approaches me.
Ah, I see now. You're not 11. You're an imposter.
His face is bright red and his hands are in fists.
Your crimes are impersonating a royal princess, conspiring to steal the crown ruby, and being a meanie. Guards, arrest her. And the brother, throw them in the dungeon.
Oh, no. No, no, no! We can't be arrested and thrown in a dungeon. There's no time for that. I need the crown ruby we were promised. Two tall, burly guards come marching into the dining room. One of them grabs me. The other grabs Jonah. What now?